Chapter 8. Trouble in the Tunnel.
There's going to be a race tomorrow, cried Roberta. Perks told me.
What sort of race?
Asked Peter. A running race. The oldest boys from the school in the town are racing. They will run along the railway line and through the tunnel. Shall we go and watch them?
The next morning, Mother made them a picnic, and they set off down the hill towards the railway line. The huge pile of branches and earth and rocks from the landslide had gone, and the railway line was clear. The children had watched the men working hard with their spades and their wheelbarrows. A tall boy with a pink face ran past them. He was breathing heavily.
It's one of the runners, said Roberta.
The three children stood back and watched as the boy ran all the way along the railway line until he disappeared into the tunnel. More runners appeared in groups of two or three. They rushed past the children and into the black mouth of the tunnel. When the last runner, a boy in a red shirt, had disappeared, Roberta turned to the others.
It won't be easy to run in the dark, she said. And it's a long tunnel with several bends in it. It will be a long time before they come out again.
Let's climb the hill that the tunnel runs through, suggested Phyllis. We can watch them come out of the tunnel from the other side.
The others thought this was a good idea. They walked up the little wooden steps and climbed the steep hill. Rocks and branches kept getting in the way. It was very hard work.
It's like climbing a mountain, gasped Phyllis.
Come on, you lazy thing, laughed Peter.
But everyone was finding it hard work. At last, they reached the top. They lay down on the grass and tried to get their breath back. Roberta sat up and looked around.
Look over there, she said. I can see the station, three chimneys, and the houses in the village.
Come on, said Peter. Let's walk down to the other end of the tunnel.
They soon reached the low brick wall above the far end of the tunnel. It was like standing on a bridge. They looked down onto the railway line.
I can't see any runners, said Phyllis. Perhaps we have missed them.
I don't think we have, said Roberta. But this is a good place for watching trains. We've never seen the top of a train before.
Suddenly Peter cried out,
Here's the first runner!
They all looked down. The first boy was running out of the tunnel. He was soon followed by the other runners, one by one. They all looked very tired as they trotted off along the railway line.
What shall we do now? Asked Roberta.
Eat our picnic, suggested Phyllis. I'm hungry.
Not yet, said Peter. The boy in the red shirt hasn't come out yet. Let's wait for him.
They waited and waited, but the boy didn't come out of the tunnel.
Let's go down to the railway line, said Peter. Perhaps he stopped for a rest. We might see him from there.
So they climbed down the hill to the mouth of the tunnel. There was no sign of the boy.
Oh, let's have a sandwich,
cried poor Phyllis. She was tired and hungry.
Give her a sandwich, Roberta, said Peter crossly. It might keep her quiet.
Let's all have one, suggested Roberta.
As Peter ate his sandwich, he thought about the boy.
I'm worried about that boy, he said. I think he's had an accident in the tunnel.
Roberta swallowed the last bit of her sandwich.
We must go and look for him, she said.
We can't go on the railway track, cried Phyllis. Mother said we must never do that.
And we mustn't. But if we don't try to help that boy, he may be hit by a train. I'm sure Mother would want us to look for him, said Roberta. They climbed over the fence and walked into the tunnel. When you go into a tunnel on a train, the noise of the engine changes and gets louder, and people close the windows. Everything outside the train goes dark, and there is only lamplight in the carriage. When you walk into a tunnel, slippery stones crunch under your feet. It feels cold and damp, and the walls of the tunnel are green and slimy. If you speak, your voice sounds strange. Soon, you are in total darkness. Phyllis grabbed Roberta's skirt.
I want to go home, she cried. I don't want to go on.
Don't be silly, said Peter. I've got a candle and some matches in my pocket.
Then the railway line started to hum.
It's a train, cried Roberta. Stand back, everyone. Let me go home,
screamed Phyllis. Roberta grabbed her hand and held it tightly. The rattling noise became a roaring, and they could see the train's headlights. They glowed like a dragon's eyes in the dark. Terrified, the children pressed themselves against the slimy wall of the tunnel. The train rushed past them with a roar and a rattle and a flash of carriage windows. Roberta and Phyllis held each other tightly, and even Peter grabbed Roberta's arm. Then it was all over. The train's taillights grew smaller and smaller, and the train was gone. Now it was silent in the tunnel. Peter's hand shook as he lit the candle.
We must keep going, he said. We must find that boy.
Peter led his sisters further into the tunnel, and then they saw a flash of red in the candlelight. Phyllis shut her eyes.
Is it blood? Is he dead?
She asked.
No, said Peter. He's wearing a red shirt, remember?
Now they could see the boy clearly. He was sitting on the ground with his back against the wall of the tunnel. His eyes were closed.
He's fainted, said Phyllis. What shall we do?
Sprinkle cold water on his face, said Peter.
But we haven't got any.
We could use milk,
Roberta suggested. Roberta took out a bottle of milk. She sprinkled some on the boy's face.
Wake up. Please wake up,
she murmured. Peter took the boy's arm and shook it. The boy opened his eyes, closed them again and said,
Stop that. He's alive,
gasped Roberta, and started to cry.
Why are you crying? I'm all right, said the boy.
Peter put the bottle of milk to the boy's lips.
Drink this, he said. It will do you good.
When he had finished drinking, the boy said,
I feel much better now.
He tried to stand up.
Ah! Ah! My leg! He gasped. It really hurts. I think it's broken.
Did you fall over?
Asked Phyllis.
I tripped over some wire, he replied, and now I can't stand up again. Oh, but where did you come from?
We saw the boys running into the tunnel. We came round to the other side to watch you run out. The others ran out, but you didn't. So we came to look for you.
I think you're all very brave, said the boy.
Do you think you can walk if we help you?
Asked Peter.
I'll try, he answered.
Peter and Roberta helped the boy to stand up on one leg.
Oh, let me sit down again, he gasped.
The boy fell to the ground and closed his eyes. The children looked at his pale face in the candlelight.
We need to get some help, said Roberta. Phyllis, you will have to run to the nearest house and tell them what's happened.
Peter and I will stay here and look after him. But first, we must move him to a safer place. I will take his head and you two can take his feet.
The boy was older than they were, and he was heavy. But they managed to move him into a little archway further from the railway line. Then he fainted again. Peter took out his penknife and cut the little candle into two pieces.
You take this piece, Phyllis. I'll light it for you. We'll keep the other piece. Off you go now, he said.
They watched Phyllis disappear into the blackness. Then Roberta said,
Give me your knife, Peter. I'm going to take his boot off.
She managed to cut the lace and pull off the boot. Then carefully she pulled the long brown sock off the boy's swollen leg. There was a cloth in the picnic basket. Roberta folded it and gently placed it under the boy's leg. He woke up then and smiled at Roberta and Peter.
What's your name? Asked Roberta.
Jim, he replied.
My name is Roberta, and this is my brother Peter, said Roberta.
There was another girl, wasn't there? Asked Jim.
That was our sister Phyllis. She's gone to get help, explained Peter.
Phyllis walked out into the light with candle wax dripping onto her hand. She had torn her dress on some wire and fallen over twice. The tunnel had seemed endless. She took a deep breath and looked around her. There was a roof among the trees, so she walked towards it. As she came nearer, she saw that it wasn't a house. It was a signal box. She looked up at the window and called,
Hello!
There was no answer. Phyllis climbed the steps and looked through the open door. The signalman was sitting in a chair. His mouth was open, but his eyes were closed. He was asleep.
Wake up!
Shouted Phyllis. If a signalman fell asleep, there was no one to work the signals. There could be a train crash. The signalman jumped to his feet.
What time is it?
He cried.
Has the 12:20 gone past yet?
It's 12:13, she said,
looking at the clock on the wall.
Oh, that's all right then, sighed the man.
He wiped his face with a large red and purple handkerchief.
Oh, I was so tired. I fell asleep. My son is ill, and we stayed up late with him last night.
The man pulled a lever and pushed another one. A bell rang, and the 12:20 thundered past.
What are you doing here, anyway?
Asked the man.
I need help, replied Phyllis. There's a boy in the tunnel with a broken leg.
I can't leave my signal box, but there's a farm nearby. Look, over there, you can see the smoke from the chimney.
Thank you,
said Phyllis. She set off again.